Our first reading today is from Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 31. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are your offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." Our second reading is from John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. The promise of the Holy Spirit. "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. In this is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God.
Last year, my husband Kim and I went to Kangaroo Island for a chance to rest and relax after all the excitement and celebration that surrounded Nicola's wedding to Damien. What with preparations and interstate visitors and pre-wedding functions and an absolutely wonderful windy wedding day, we had a fantastic but tiring time. And it was good to find space and just be on holidays. We went to Kangaroo Island, remembering some of the places that we had been the previous time we'd visited, and one of them was Stokes Bay. I don't know if many of you have been to Kangaroo Island and to Stokes Bay. I just remembered it as a really magic place, I must admit, one of the attractions was that we had a really great lunch there, and the food in the cafe did not disappoint. But the main memory was the pathway to the beach. Because as you pull up in the car park, there's not much beach in view. Just a few rocks at the edge of a little bit of water, and you think, is this the bay? Stokes Bay, where is it? But then you notice a sign that says to the beach, but seems to point right at a rock face. You follow that sign and walk through a small gap that narrows as you go further. It's not a very long way, but it feels very tight and squashy until suddenly it opens up and you step out onto the beach into a spacious place. And I'm not really claustrophobic, but as I step out, there is a feeling of lightness and relief. A sigh escapes. Actually, a bit like the whole feeling of being on holiday. From that tightness, that constriction, to a spacious place. And as I said earlier with the children, the psalm for today speaks of this feeling, first describing the way the people have been tested, burdens on us, people riding roughshod over us, through water and fire, and then praising God. Yet you brought us out to a spacious place, because God has not removed God's steadfast love from me. I wonder if you can think of other times when you get this feeling of moving from being constricted and confined and closed in to having room to think and to feel and move forward. I can think of a few. When I'm waiting for news about something, perhaps it's news about a health test, or it's news about a job opportunity. I can even remember waiting for my Year 12 results when you had to wait for the postman to come and bring them round. And then you start to feel healthy again. Or the news comes, and even if it's not as good as you'd hoped for, at least you know what the way forward is. Or perhaps you've been in a situation where someone's hurt you with their words, where they've put you down, where they've disparaged what you can do, they've treated you unfairly, bullied or harassed you. And you feel weighed down. And someone else offers a friendly word, a smile, an encouragement to remember the truth about yourself. That you are worthwhile, that you are God's loved child. It takes you back to that spacious place. When we find healing or a help to manage in difficult health situations, when our fears are relieved or someone walks with us in that fear, when people give generously for needs or work for justice, then we are helped to move into a more spacious place, a place where we can live more fully, more freely, more in the way that is God's plan and will for us, a place where we can indeed experience the steadfast love of God. We are meant for love, to know love. It is in God, in love, that we exist. Whatever our context, whatever else we surround ourselves with, we are made by God, called into life by God, given life and breath and all things by God. Paul claims this as he stands in front of the Areopagus, addressing the Athenians. Not only is God the one who made us and gave us life, it is not as God's servants that we are made, but as God's children. Paul too tells us that we live in the spaciousness of God. In God we live and move and have our being. Whatever else we may know of our world, whatever else the world may tell us about ourselves, this truth is stronger. God and God's love is the reality in which we live. The life and ministry of Jesus, healing, freeing, giving his life and witness to this, and the ongoing life of Jesus among us is our assurance of this. That's what we celebrate at Easter, and each Sunday we come to celebrate. That love cannot be extinguished. That love rises again. Paul has known for himself the reality of God's grace, and he is compelled to share it with others. And that is a characteristic of those who live in God's reality of love, who have been brought into the spaciousness of God's love. You see, as God's children, we have that capacity to share God's love and thus help others too to know the reality of God's love. Sometimes we do this, like Paul, by speaking of our own experience of God's love, of sharing what we know of Jesus Christ. And this is important. And at all times, it should be in the way that we choose to treat others as loved and valued children of God, no matter what our society thinks of them, and even no matter what horrors they may be guilty of. We live in God's reality of love and grace and share that with others when we are tolerant of others, when we choose to listen with understanding rather than rushing to judgment, and when we do not allow the awkward and difficult things that other people sometimes say and do to become reasons to sever our relationship with them. And I know they've been particular times when I've experienced God's grace, God's spaciousness. When I said that difficult and awkward thing, it's come out of my mouth, and sometimes I wished it hadn't. And I seek forgiveness, and it's given to me. And people help me move on in God's grace and love. We live in the spaciousness of God's love when we stand up for others, when they're being treated unfairly, or when we invite them to be part of community when they seem to be excluded from so much. And we live in the reality and spaciousness of God's love when we refuse to believe the lies that society tell us about the value of other people, about how deserving they are, when we refuse to write off those who have broken the law, when we open our hearts and community to those who are fleeing persecution, even if they've not come by officially sanctioned paths, when we refuse to believe that anyone can be treated as a second-class citizen because of their race or their sex or their age or their employment status. When we believe that, when we live as if that is true, then we are living in the reality of God's love that is always spacious enough to include yet more and more people. Jesus talks about the spaciousness of love as part of what it means to live in Christian community. Jesus speaks to his disciples about his love, God's love, and the truth of love that continues beyond his death. When we feel lost and alone, constricted, unable to move, the truth is that we continue to be held and surrounded in love as the Spirit guides us and leads us. It is the Spirit's guiding we seek as we discern together how we will be in mission as a congregation and community, and as we seek to understand how we will resource that mission with our money and our time and our skills. And over the years I was part of Morialta, I saw the many ways that you endeavoured to create a place where God's love was seen and shared. I saw care being offered in friendship, smiles, the touch of a hand, and in practical help. I saw a concern for justice. Thinking too of some of the other things that happened here, the netball, the ethos of our netball club, prompted by its connection with this church, provides a place where young girls can hear how valuable they are, not just because of how they play netball, but also because of who they are. The support of this congregation for the Christian pastoral support worker enables a space to be made for students who are feeling stressed, feeling harassed or bullied, feeling that they have no place, to find a space, a spacious place, where they can be affirmed, where they can know that they are loved and valued. Jesus' commandment to love, though, is not just about adding something else to our lives. It's not just about adding something else to already burdened lives, or about trying to be good to prove that we are worthy. Jesus is talking to us about following him. Following him into that spacious place of God's generous and abiding love. That place where we know ourselves to be so completely loved that we are filled to overflowing with love ourselves. That place where we can find the space and freedom to love others, even those who can't return that love. Jesus helped others find healing, freed people from fear, and spoke of justice and generosity, confident in the love of God that never abandoned him, even as the hatred and fear of others squeezed him into a narrowing chasm that seemed that it could only lead to death. But Jesus came through that chasm into the expansive fullness of God's everlasting life, filled with love, love, and more love. Let us live in the reality of God's love, helping each other find the space we need to welcome others so that they too can know God's healing, God's freedom, God's justice and generosity, not just at special times like holidays, but in every part of their lives. May it be so. Amen.